With me this morning and turn to John chapter 10. One ahead of me there. John chapter 10, we'll be reading verses 1 through 11. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. I'd like to have you read along with me on the even-numbered verses. And let's stand together as we read John 10 through 11. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his sheep, own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to gather this morning. We ask your blessing upon our time. Be with Pastor as he brings a message to us today. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would go before and speak to our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, we just ask now that you'd bless us as we hear the preaching of your word. Lord, and we just pray if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, they might come to know you today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And you can be seated. And turn in your songbooks to number 262. There is power in the blood. We'll sing the first, second, and fourth verses.
Aren't you? I was thinking about as we're singing that, I remembered going back a few years to when my dad held a revival meeting in Pigeon Roost, Kentucky. I was 5 years old. That's where I learned to ride the bike by myself, because from the people's house down to their shed was downhill. And, you know, I learned to ride the bike going downhill. I won't tell you what happened when I got to the other way. But I was 5 years old. My dad preached a revival meeting for Revis Clark was his name. Revis Clark was a old moonshiner that got saved and preached sunshine. Amen. But he got saved and had a little church way up in a town called Pigeon Roost. Don't ask me where it is in Kentucky, but it's way up in the mountains. I remember we drove across a cable bridge. I was scared to death, but years ago. But my point, and I do have a point to all this, okay, was that we met in a little. It reminded me of World War II Army barracks, a little old stick frame building, small. But I remember it being packed out. In fact, I rode with Revis Clark in his Jeep to pick up kids in the mountains. But I remember it being packed out and singing songs like There's Power in the Blood, and just hearing it echo off the ceiling there. My mind goes back in time when we sing songs like that. There it is, man. Power in the Blood. Thank God for His salvation. Your Bibles again, please. John chapter number 10. John chapter 10. Tonight I'm going to be speaking again along the lines of holding the line. When I was, Gail and I were away for those 2 weeks, one weekend, but 2 weeks, it just seemed like the Lord impressed upon my heart the aspect of holding the line, holding the line. And last Sunday night I preached that thought, and tonight I'm going to as well, holding the line. In our day, we just need to hold to what God has already said. Amen? We don't need a new gospel. We don't need new types of churches. We need to hold the line. And there are several things that we need to hold the line on. And so tonight in our evening service, touching on that tonight. John chapter number 10, we read through 11 there. And I want you to drop down also to verse number 28, verse number 27. Read a few verses there with me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you know Christ, then your footsteps ought to follow His. Amen? Not to be saved, but because you are saved. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. There's only one kind of life Jesus gives. It's eternal. He doesn't take it back. You don't lose it. We hold the line on that, don't we? Right? Security of the believer. Not secure in the believer's ability, but secure in the power of Christ. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. And then if you would drop down to verse 39, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan unto the place where John at first baptized. And there he abode, and many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. Believed on him there. Many believed on him there. Well, think about that phrase, many believed on him there, as we preach this morning. Let's bow for prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together. And Lord, as we remind ourselves in Sunday school that the function of the local church is that believers might be edified and exhorted and comforted through the prophesying of your word, speaking forth of your word. So I pray that this morning the Holy Spirit would minister to us, help us, help my voice this morning. I pray that you'd fill me with thy Holy Spirit, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll get to the phrase, many believed on him there after a while. But many of the Jews to whom Jesus came would not accept him for who he is. Many would not accept him for who he is. He came unto his own, and his own what? Received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Isn't that wonderful? Many of the Jews to whom Jesus came would not accept him for who he is. The line that makes the difference between is the line drawn by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus said in John chapter 3, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And here's the line. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." The line that makes the difference between all people is the line drawn by the Lord Jesus Christ. Belief on him or unbelief? Belief draws the line. On one side, you can put the people of the world that are condemned already because they have not believed. Not condemned because God pre-chose to condemn them. And on the other side of the line, we have those that have actively, will, called, put their faith in Christ and put their trust in him, and they're saved. Not because God predetermined them to do so. God predetermined the plan, but drew the line by belief. Faith, active faith, putting our trust. The line that makes the difference between all people is the line drawn by the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people have heard wonderful truths about Jesus. And I don't mean to categorize this side, but they're on this side of the line. Would you prefer I switch the sides here? In the passage of Scripture we read this morning, we read later at the very end, it says, "And many believed on him there," a different place, just a little bit different time, but they believed on him there. These people believe on him. In the passage of Scripture that we read, we're going to share these verses here. The Lord Jesus Christ gave many wonderful truths about himself. But the line that separates people is drawn by belief or unbelief. You know, God doesn't force anybody into his fold. He's a sheep caller. After leaving those who would not hear Jesus in this passage, he went to the place where John had baptized at the beginning when Jesus entered the ministry. And truth that was presented by the Lord to these people is the same truth that caused these other people that we read about to put their trust in him. God doesn't have different truths. For God so loved the what? World. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I was reading in a commentary that someone had given me, and the commentator was of the persuasion that God predetermined a few select soevers to be saved and passed over the rest to be left in their condemnation. And God didn't really mean whosoever. Amen. I wish he was there when God wrote the Bible, because he would help God to put what God meant. Listen, Jesus said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. I believe that. Amen? Amen. Don't try to qualify it. Whosoever believeth in him. Today, many people have tried to come up with human means to entice the lost and bring them to Christ. To do that. Jesus said, if he was lifted up, he would draw all men unto him. Now, we know that when he said, if I be lifted up, the scripture goes on and says, it was talking about what death he would die, lifted up on the cross. But the truth is, Jesus said, if he would be lifted up, he would draw all men to him. It's not man's human inventions to entice people to church or to entice people to trust God and with him that leads to salvation. It's people coming to trust the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for them. That's what saves. Jesus said, if he be lifted up, he'd draw all men unto him. The truth about Jesus, who he is, what he did, and what he promises is the basis for faith. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith is not a divine impartation to some. Faith comes as a result of hearing the word of God. Conviction based upon hearing. That's what faith is. And so the truth about Jesus, who he is and what he did and what he promised as the basis for faith. These people here heard wonderful things but didn't believe. But then when he went on the other side, Jordan, believed there. It's not what we can do for people. It's what people will believe Jesus did for them. I had wonderful upbringing. I had wonderful parents. But I didn't get saved until I was 19 years old. I believed on them there. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it's the same truth that I'd heard growing up and didn't put my faith in it. Same truth. But many, if you notice with me in John chapter 10, very at the end of this chapter here, it says, and many believed on him there. Same truth, but different attitude. The line that separates between all people is that line of belief or unbelief. Well, let's go back in this chapter. They heard the Lord Jesus, the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders that were questioning him and antagonizing him and to whom Jesus was giving truth that they rejected. But the truth he gave is vital. So let's see what Jesus said about himself earlier in this passage, which I think later many believed on him. There. First of all, looking at the truth that Jesus shared about himself, and let me just interject this. As the Lord's allowed me many years, I'm not trying to come up with any new truths. Amen? Amen. I'm just going to keep taking the Bible and preaching what God says. I haven't written off for a new Bible. I haven't joined Bible of the Month Club. Okay? Just the old King James Bible. And we'll just keep preaching it. Just keep preaching it. I think we need to hear more of what God says and more of what man says anyway. And let's see what Jesus said. Some didn't believe, but others believed on him there in a different location. First of all, he said in verse number 2 that he was the true shepherd. In verse 1 he says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, amen, amen. Jesus did his own amening before he said it. My amen sign's not under the pulpit right now. Someone made me an amen sign and it got moved. I had to bring it back out. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheep up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. Here in verse number 2, Jesus presents the truth that he is the true shepherd. He came the right way. He is the one that was way back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. He's the one that was spoken about when God spoke to Abraham, saying that of his seed he'd bless all the families of the earth. He came the right way. He was born of a virgin, as the Bible said the Good Shepherd would be. He was of the seed of David. God used David to write the Shepherd 3. And the Good Shepherd, the true Shepherd, came the right way, of the seed of David. Born in Bethlehem of Judea. Born in the proper time frame, following the decree of Ahasuerus to build Jerusalem. For some 483 years later, the Lord Jesus came, Messiah came, as was promised. He's the one that came the right way. A lot of people that would declare themselves, and the Bible says that will happen later on, tribulation. People declare themselves to be Christ. There's only one that came the right way, and the porter opened the door to him, and that's Jesus. You remember John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So in this verse, in verse number 2, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The one, Jesus says, he's letting the Jews hear, "I am the true shepherd. I'm the one David wrote about. I'm the one Isaiah wrote about. I'm the one. I'm the one that was prophesied in the Old Testament. I am the one." He came the right way. You remember, he came with the testimony of the angels. The angels testified of him. He came with the Spirit-filled testimony of Simeon and Anna. He came with the heavenly host, and the shepherds speak of this one that had come to be the Savior of the world. He came the right way. Listen, don't look for anybody else. Jesus is the one. He's the true shepherd. A lot of people follow a lot of other things. I'm pretty content to just follow what the Bible says. He's the true shepherd. Secondly, I want you to notice he pointed out to them that he's the door. In verses 7 through 9, then said, different concept now. "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, amen, amen, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Now the shepherd had to be let in. And the shepherd had to be the right one. He had to come the right way. That's Jesus. Virgin born, Son of God, God the Son, God in flesh, reconciling the world to himself. But now he switches gears and he says, now, to get in the door as sheep, you got to get in the fold as through the door. Verse number 7 again. He says, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find." I'm the door, he said. He's the door. Deliverance and safety is only for the sheep that enter into the door, through the door into the fold. You have the fold, and the fold could be set up outside of a dwelling place. It could be a certain, maybe even a cave, but there's only one way into that. They let the sheep in and let the sheep out. And Jesus said, I'm that gate. But he's going to go from outside the sheepfold to inside the sheepfold. They've got to come through the door, through the gate. And Jesus said, I'm that one. Folks, we need to be reminded today that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father's fold. Even Baptist people get hung up on the fact that they've been baptized or go to church, and some might rest in what they've done in their lives. Jesus said, I'm the only way in. I don't care how many times a sheep has been sheared or washed. If it doesn't come through the door, it's not in the fold. Somebody say, well, I was baptized in a Baptist church. My grandpa baptized me. That doesn't get you in the fold, amen? My dad baptized me when I was 12. When I was 19, I realized I'm not saved. Deliverance and safety for the sheep is only afforded to the ones that enter the fold through the door. Inside the fold were many dangers. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by what? But by me. That's it. The only way into the eternal safety of God's fold is through Christ the door. And once in, a sheep exits and enters at the leading of, and finds pasture to feed upon. I want you to notice something very interesting in verse number 9 there. He said, I am the door, by me if, what's the next word? Any man enter in. I'm glad it's just not for pretty sheep, amen, or smart sheep. If anyone enter in. And he, of course, is saying, you know, the sheep, they're men. I'm the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The entering in is up to the man. The right door is set there by God, and the result is all of God. I was interested years ago when somebody that was a hyper-Calvinist was accusing me of making salvation all of men, because I said the person has to believe on the Lord to be saved, all of men. No, I'm not. God set the plan of salvation. I didn't. And here's the door. Jesus said, I am the door. I've come in to the fold the right way. I'm the Savior. I'm the Son of God, the one who was prophesied. I came the right way. And now I'm the door for men to enter into that fold and become a part of God's fold. If any man shall be saved. Aren't you glad the Bible says there any man? And what will happen to him? You know, it took me a little while to really fully claim the thought that I am saved. Maybe I'm just dumb, okay? But it took me a while, because I had for years heard it, and yeah, I believed the concepts. But did then the Holy Spirit convicted me, and I realized I needed to enter through the door of Christ, who is Christ, and be saved. When I did that, it was like, am I really here? If any man enter in, he shall be what? Saved. What a wonderful consolation. Any. And when a person puts his or her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have not their own guarantee that God has done what he said he would do. Saved is not something one does for himself. Saved is something another does for someone else. Rescued. If you enter in, you believe what I've said about me and what I did for you, I'm the door, you call upon me, and I save you from the enemy. Any man. Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, wow, you know, preacher talks about people being saved. I sat under the sound of the gospel for 19 years unsaved. It's very possible that someone has sat here week after week after week after week, and they just maybe think, God won't save me. Yes, he will. I think you qualify as any man. Yeah, but you don't know what I've said in the past. God does. And Jesus paid for your sins. Say, preacher, you don't know everything about me. God does. He said, if any man enter in, he will be saved. Aren't you glad that God opened the door for anybody? The only way to eternal life and eternal safety of God is through Christ, the door. I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. A lot of people are trying to feed, but they're not part of the fold. Today's idea of worship people to heaven, let's get them worship. No, we'll get them to believe. No, you believe and in the fold, and then you get to eat the pasture food. Amen? Then you get to enjoy all that God has for us. So he says, I'm the true shepherd, verse 2, about himself. I'm the door. The only way in is through me. The third thing he says is, I'm the good shepherd, verse number 11, if you look at that. I'm the good shepherd. In verse 10, he says, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, come, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also must speak in unbelieving people, Jews, that he came to, but they didn't receive him. And he said, listen, there's others that will believe, and they're all going to be part of one fold, because I'm the door, the only door into God's fold. But notice here, he said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd. Jesus revealing about himself, he's the true shepherd. He's the door to the sheepfold for any sheep. And then he's the good shepherd. The good shepherd qualified by the one who gives his life for the sheep. He's the good shepherd who came that the sheep would have life and have it more abundantly. Think of that. So many Christians go through the Christian life like they've been weaned on a dill pickle. Sour as can be, holier than thou. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. Life more abundantly. The idea there is life beyond measure, more abundant. I like to think of the idea of more abundantly, as we've mentioned before, of taking a 5-gallon container of water and pouring it into a 5-ounce cup. All of it. That's abundantly. As the good shepherd, he gave his life for the sheep so that we could have his eternal life. And that life isn't just eternal life. It's an abundant life. Life beyond measure. Yes, it's eternal. It's a provided life. God paid for it. It's a fulfilling life. It's a life. It's a joyful life. It's a victorious life. It's a forgiving life. It's a prosperous life. It's a hopeful life. A life that we live with wonderful hope for all eternity that the Good Shepherd has given us. One of the songs that I like is the song, Oh, the Blessed Contemplation, when with trouble here I sigh. I have a home beyond the river and I'll dwell there by and by. Amen? The abundant life, I live eternal life, but I live it abundantly because I know God has wonderful things in mind for us, for me, in the future. He knows the sheep as the good shepherd, and they know him. That's the personal relationship. I really get perturbed at some of the lingo. You know, when the ecumenical movement years ago caused non-Bible preaching people to adopt of Bible preaching people. And so many times, we talk about having a real and living relationship with the Lord. But that relationship doesn't exist until we enter the door. But once we've entered the door, we've come through Christ, we've accepted Christ as our Savior, then we have a living, vibrant relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Good Shepherd, the one that gave his life for the sheep. Listen, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior and you're living in spiritual drudgery, you better get in tune with the shepherd, amen? I know him and they know me. I'm known of them. Personal relationship with him. He's there for your protection because of who he is, not what he gains. The false shepherd is there for what he gains, for who he is. And he said ultimately his life would be given for the sheep. Listen to me this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am going to give my life so that you can have life. We have life in Him because He gave His life for us. You and I have done things for people, and people have done things for us. And when that happens, there's a reciprocating appreciation of them. We love Him because He first loved us. And when we ponder the fact that this good shepherd, the true shepherd, actually gave His life, that's what made the door. He gave His life so that we could be saved. It ought to make us love Him more and appreciate Him more and more. But then he relates to these people that He's the divine shepherd. I want you to notice, if you would, 26. But you believed Me not, because you're not of My sheep, as I said unto you. And why were they not of His sheep? Again, the Calvinist says they weren't of a sheep because God foreordained that they wouldn't be a sheep. Wrong. Amen? Show me that in the Bible. You can't get saved because I did not foreordain that you would get saved. God, not the God that reveals Himself in the Bible. He says, you will not come to Me that you might have life. Their will, not His. He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And so He says here in verse number 28, He says, you believe not because you're not of My sheep. If they believed, they'd become one of His sheep, right? Oh, that's the Savior. He came the right way. He's the door into the fold, and I believe. One of His sheep. But they didn't believe not. They believed not. They weren't of His sheep. They wouldn't believe. They wouldn't listen to Him. They wouldn't hear Him. Go back to John chapter 5 and John chapter 6 and John chapter 7 and John chapter 8. We see how the Jewish people had adamantly set themselves against the Lord Jesus Christ. And here He's telling them who He is. I'm that shepherd. You love David? You love the Psalms? You love the 23rd Psalm? I'm not just a human shepherd, but a divine shepherd. As we look here in verse 26, you believe not because you're not of My sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Let me just interject something here with what Jesus said here. People say, well, if I'm saved, well, then I can opt out. Person that wanted to opt out, number one. Number two, once we're in the fold, He said, you'll how often perish? What's it say? Never. Now, we had a president one time that said, read my lips, no new taxes, right? Man may say something and not be able to hold to it, but when God says something, He holds to it. You'll never. God does not want someone who has entered His fold through the Lord Jesus Christ to think they're going to lose something. He protects them. He keeps us. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. That would include outside source and inside source. Try plucking yourself out. You ain't going to do it. Then He said, My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. And read it aloud. Ready? I and My Father are one. Total unity. The triunity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are one. Three divine persons, one Godhead, inseparable. Co-equal in glory. I and My Father are one. The shepherd is God, who came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. Listen to Me. God the Son came to save you. Jesus secures His sheep in His hand, and Jesus rests securely in the Father's hand, and Jesus will not allow any of His sheep to be lost. He's the divine shepherd. You know, David, the shepherd, did everything he could to protect his sheep. But David died. Jesus died and rose again and will never die. He's alive forevermore, the scripture says. You are secure in him. He will hold you and protect you through all eternity. I'm so glad to know that I'm secure in him. But it's not because of human ability. It's because he presents himself as the divine shepherd, I and my Father. Well, you know, people say, well, Jesus didn't say he was God. Well, he actually did. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Before Abraham was, I what? I am. I that speak unto thee am he, said to the woman at the well. And with what took place here, the Jehovah's Witness will try to say, well, you know, and a whole bunch of other things that's not scriptural. And then they'll take this passage and they'll say, well, Jesus just said he was at one with the Father, not necessarily divine. Wrong. Look what the Jews thought. In verse number 31, then the Jews took up stones again to what? Because he said he was a shepherd? No. Because he said, no, the good shepherd? No. Because he said he was the divine shepherd. They took up stones again to stone him. And verse the next verse, he says, the last part of it, which of these works do you stone me? And the Jews answered, verse 33, saying, for good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself what? God. He's the divine shepherd. God reconciling the world to himself. Listen, just think about this for a minute. God came to save you personally and me. It wasn't some theological thing that happened in the universe that just kind of goes on and takes place. It's God personally coming to us in the person of Christ to save us personally. It's a personal thing. And the Son of people, he knocks on the door of our heart. If any man hear his voice and open the door, he says, I'll come in. It's a personal thing. God himself in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So let's get the picture. If God personally came and walked on this earth and you're not saved, he would want to come to you and say, please come into my fold. I've provided all that's necessary. Here, just walk through this door. The door is the fact that he loves you, lived for you, died for you, rose for you, and will save you. Personal thing. If I could grab somebody's hand and pull them across, I'd do it. But better than that, God comes to us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And don't tell me that's something different than salvation. It's not. I've heard people say, well, that verse doesn't apply to me. He was writing to churches where there might be unsaved people, and he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. There are unsaved church people. Amen. And God himself would come to seek and to save you. If you're here this morning and you've never asked the Lord to be your Savior, I want your shepherd knocking at your door. And then if you would take your Bible and look at the end of the chapter here. In verse number 39, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. He presented truth to them, but they there didn't receive it. And in verse again, beyond Jordan to the place where John at the first baptized and there he abode, many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that Jesus spake of this man, or that John spake of this man, were true. And many believed on him there. The line of belief. The same truth, but the line of belief making the difference. Many believed on him there. It wasn't the people who had a heart of unbelief. It was now people that heard and believed and acted upon it. It was now people who accepted Jesus for who he is. John had said about him, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And they believed on him there. Some didn't before, but now they did there. And we're here. Perhaps there's someone here who believed in some other time or place, but now the truth seems real to you. And you need to be one of those that now believe on him there, here, right where we are. There needs to be decision about the shepherd. Remember when I came to know the Lord as my Savior? Yes, I'd heard about it. But there came a point in time where that conviction was on my heart strongly, and right where I was, I needed to do something about it. That's where you are today. You may have heard and let it pass nonchalantly, but today, there, where you are, here, you need to do something about it. Jesus is not just an historical icon. He's the Savior. He's not just a religious figure. He is God the Son in flesh. He's not just a person of interest, only begotten Son of God. What we do with Jesus determines what happens to us for all eternity. He is who he said he is. He came the way the Bible said he would come. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He gave his life for our salvation, but only those who enter into the fold through him are saved. Listen, hear and believe the things that have shared, but until you personally step across the line by faith in Christ, you'll spend eternity in hell. One of the worst things in my mind would be that someone that I've preached to has not come into the fold. Songwriter wrote the words to a song, "What You Will You Do With Jesus?" Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken, what meaneth the sudden call? What will you do with Jesus? Jesus is standing on trial still. You can be false to him if you will. You can be faithful through good or ill. What will you do with Jesus? Will you evade him as Pilate tried, or will you choose him whate'er betide? Vainly you struggle from him to hide. What will you do with Jesus? Will you, like Peter, your Lord deny, or will you scorn from his foes to fly? Daring for Jesus to live or die, what will you do with Jesus? Jesus, I give thee my heart today. Jesus, I'll follow thee all the way. Gladly obeying thee, will you say, this I will do with Jesus. And the chorus, what will you do with Jesus? Neutral. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Are you, as a Christian in his fold, are you experiencing his abundant life, his joy, his forgiveness, his victory, his blessing, his encouragement, his hope that he's given you? The sheep separated by the door. One door and only one, and yet the sides are two. Inside and outside, on which side are you? One door and only one, and yet the sides are two. I'm on the inside, on which side are you? You know, God told Noah to build an ark because he was going to destroy the sinful world. Once Noah and his family finished building the ark, no little undertaking. They entered in through its door. And then God shut the door. And no one else entered. Everyone on the outside perished in the flood. The door of salvation for this age will be shut by God. The trumpet will sound. We'll be caught up together with the Lord in the air. And those left outside will be left to face the great tribulation. And those who willfully reject Jesus Christ, I believe, will have the door of salvation upon their heart. Young child, adult, aged person this morning, if the shepherd is calling to you, and he is, won't you respond today? One songwriter said, why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Believe on him there. Here. Right where you are in life. This day. Today's the day of salvation. It was Fort Hood, Texas for me. There's a living room for my wife. A church auditorium for some. Beside their bed for others. But at some point in time, unless you've entered through the door, you're not yet a part of his fold. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for all that Jesus is and said, what he means to us who've trusted him as Savior. Heavenly Father, if there's anybody here this morning that fold, not saved, I pray the Holy Spirit would make it just as if you're standing in front of them right now. May they sense you knocking at the door of their heart. To respond with belief and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save them today. Lord, help each of us who are saved to live the abundant life victoriously. But if there's someone that's not saved, I pray they'd be convicted now and they'd do something about it. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, preacher, I've entered the door. This is me. But I can't honestly say I'm really living the abundant life, the victory that I need, the joy that I ought to have. And by the grace of God, I want to walk with the shepherd, experience all that he has for me as a Christian. Would you slip up your hand this morning? Anybody today? Anybody? God bless you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Maybe it's a matter of just yielding more to him, or maybe it's a matter of getting something clear and confessing a sin. I wonder if there's anybody this morning who'd say, preacher, I know I've not entered the door. I need Christ as my Savior. I want to do something about that today. Who'd slip up their hand? And no one else has looked at their hand and say, preacher, I need to make Christ my Savior. I know God's knocking on the door of my heart. I want to do something about it. Anybody here this morning? Don't wait. Eternity is too long. Believe on him here. Do something about it. In a moment, we're going to stand together. As a Christian, maybe you ought to just come and pray and say, Lord, help me to experience the abundant life that you have for me. If you're not saved, when we stand together, forget about anybody else. Come up from your seat, come down the aisle to the front, grab my hand and say, preacher, I want to enter the door. I want Jesus as my Savior. And we'll help you get that settled right away today. Let's stand together, please. Father in heaven, we ask you to bless this invitation and glorify that others would see us as Christians living the abundant life. and see something they're missing. And Lord, if there's someone here that's not saved, may they respond to your call today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jeff, would you?
Number 366, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have thine own way.
That Jesus is the message and life in Him is the answer. Dear Lord, I pray that You'd help us as we go our separate ways to be enriched in the life that You've given us, strengthened and encouraged to share it with others. Thank You for Your grace so rich and so free. And then, Father, I pray that You'd help us as we look toward this week and that we'd have some visitors to be able to come that are not saved Thursday night to hear the gospel through drama. Lord, I pray that You just be a lighthouse of the wonderful salvation that You've offered through the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you are dismissed.